Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And if you remember our friends Yoda and Backpack, they actually had me on their show the other day, and I wanted to share that interview with you, so we're going to play the interview incomplete. Let's go to Backpack and Yoda and the Voices of Global Freedom and their show. Here we go.
To Voices of Global Freedom, live from San Diego, this is your host, Backpack and Yoda. We're here with our friend Todd Bubba Horowitz, who is the host of thebubbashow.org, and we've worked with him quite often on the economy and issues that affect everybody here on the floor here. So, Yoda, Happy New Year. How are you doing?
Likewise. As you said during our workup, we have one financial economics guy, and we're pleased to get him on in a timely fashion after the chaotic week last week. I believe he's on here. Bubba, you on with us?
I am here. Happy New Year, guys. It's great to be here. And, you know, last week was a little turbulent, but always great to be with you guys, my friends. And I love listening to the show, and I love being a part of it. So here I am.
Likewise, you're in good company. We are dependent on our guest list. Lieutenant General Flynn, former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. About 30% bigger than the CIA. So we're full of CIA, FBI, special ops, you know our game, and the Bubba Horowitz, that would be you. Help us out with your take on last week. What should our audience be thinking about?
Well, I think when you take a look at last week, let's go back to the beginning of the week with the first initial sell-off. And I think very much expected by people that understand economics and understand markets, we had reached a level of really unsustainability in our market, in our stock market. You know, the stock market itself has been built artificially, guys. And that's one of the biggest problems is when you build a house of cards. If you remember when we were kids and we would build those house of cards and somebody'd walk by, they'd all blow down. Well, that is basically what you have built here with the stock market because of all the Federal Reserve meddling, because of all the manipulation. They took out the ability for what we call price discovery and free markets. See, what people don't understand is that markets know how to price themselves. When you allow markets to be free and you allow them to trade, they will find what the fair and going price is. You know, we've all been to a flea market in our lives. When you go to a flea market and a guy has a watch for sale, he's selling it for $20, you go, I'll give you 15. He says 18, you say 16, you guys agree at 17. That's what's called price discovery. That's where the exchange of wealth takes place. Now, in this market, they haven't allowed that to happen. What they have done, Yoda and Backpack, is they've shut out the middle class. They have absolutely destroyed the middle class because you've got Mr. Obama out giving away entitlements to the poor and continuing to tell them, basically, don't go to work, stay home, stay on the entitlement program because, you know, we want you to vote for the Democrats. So there you have that part of the economy. But the rich have really flourished throughout this whole manipulated scheme because what you've had is you've had the banks who caused the turmoil in the first place in 2008 by lending like it was no tomorrow, giving money to everybody. And what happened subsequently when the Fed came in and bailed them out, they said, okay, we're going to make interest rates zero, which should help everybody. But of course, what people don't understand is banks aren't willing to lend money if they can't make a big enough spread. And the spread is determined from where they can borrow and where they can lend. Well, They can borrow at zero and loan at 3.75% initially, or they could give it to the federal government and give it back to the full, what they call the full faith and credit through the bond market for 2.75%. So anybody who's logical is going to say, well, hell, why would they loan money to me at 3.75% when they can give it back to what they call the full faith and credit of the United States government at 2.75%? So they're not going to lend. So the trickle-down theory in which our president built his whole campaign on Joe the Plumber forgot to unclog the drain. And so the money stayed with the wealthy, so they got extremely wealthy. The middle class lost 10% of their wages. They're making 10% at least less. Now, if they're working, they're making less. And that's if they're working. And a lot of them aren't working. And the real problem, Yoden Backpack, is the guys that are my age, 45 to 65, that were either like machine tool workers, manufacturers, that type of career, which was a high-paying job with good benefits, has been destroyed. So those guys are out of work, and if they're working, they're working at Walmart, McDonald's, they're working two jobs to try to make enough.
Give us a stock example, please, of the free price discovery.
Well, I mean, if you let markets trade, like a stock itself, Apple. Apple's right now is down to the 97 level, okay? And it's probably going lower. So what happens is the buyers and sellers will come in and they will meet at certain points. And every time that trades, that is known as a price discovered model. That's when they discover the price of where the fair and equal prices for both parties to participate. And what they call the exchange of wealth will take place at that number. Now that changes constantly, but in the overall market, they didn't allow that true and free market discovery because the Fed kept underpinning by keeping cheap money and printing more money in and putting it into the market.
Well, they'd loan money to anybody that had a pulse, wouldn't they?
Well, back in 2008, they absolutely would, and that is the problem. So not only did the banks cause the problem the first time, but they allowed, and we then came to the rescue of the banks, which is the Keynesian economic theory. And again, I'm not saying one's better than the other. I think they both have flaws. Well, there's more than two, but Keynesian and Western, they both have flaws. But Keynesian is you continue to kick the can down the road and hope that trouble goes away. And you and I both know that trouble never goes away. It has to be dealt with immediately.
This past week, the market lost about $1.3 trillion, which is an unimaginable number for the average person who is barely struggling and surviving on $600 a day. But $1.3 trillion is a huge, huge number. And, you know, what is your takeaway? Why did it lose so much? And what's the situation with China plunging in value in the China stocks?
All right, well, two great questions. All right, the first part is when you look at the market itself, okay, the selling was just unbearable because you had a market that was way overvalued. The average guy, the average 401k, was already down from last year. So the average guy, this didn't have a dramatic effect on the average guy because they're not as heavily invested in the markets anyways. It had a dramatic effect on some of the bigger players. But what you see is selling starts to get selling, but this did tie directly into China because what happens here is the central banks around the world have almost been in collusion. Now, I can't say they're in collusion because I don't know that to be factual, but by the way that everybody had worked over the last couple of years, we've had this devaluing of currency. And so far, we can see what a benefit this devaluing of the currency has been, only creating major turbulence throughout the globe, and the unintended consequences, which we talk about here often here at the Bubba Show, does not work. Manipulation does not work. You need free markets, and that's it. There's nothing to say about it. It's a joke. It's ridiculous. The incompetence of the Keynesian economic theory of the Fed and the central banks around the world is destroying the economies. But we'll get back to more with Backpack and Yoda. This is The Bubba Show. If you miss a show, go to libertytalk.fm and pick it up. It's there for you on demand all the time. And, of course, we keep it going. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break with more with Backpack and Yoda. We're going to lose our minds tonight. What's the dealio? Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, let's get back to the currency manipulation with our friends Backpack and Yoda. This is the Bubba Show. Let's get back to the interview right now. And they devalue currency to increase the ability to export goods to give you an artificial look at GDP. Now, the reason that that's important, we should know that, is because what happens is when we went off the gold standard and everything was what they call fiat currencies, which are all paper currencies that are traded freely, and those are discovering price all the time as well. But when you bring in the manipulation portion of free markets and price discovery, okay, that changes that, and you have government intervention. So this week, China decided that they had so much trouble late last year that they were going to put in what they call circuit breakers in their stock markets. And what they had done in the past is they had eliminated short selling, which means you can sell a stock that you don't own. That's allowed upon the exchanges. Okay, as long as they can find the stock to give you to short, you can short it. Well, in China, they disallowed shorting stocks. They tried that here once too. Didn't work here either. Then you can they did not allow Chinese to sell their stocks, and they actually closed the exchange. So they decided this year they're going to have circuit breakers. After X amount of percentage of movement in the market will shut down for a short period of time. In their case, it was 15 minutes, and they will allow cooler heads to maybe prevail, and then they'll reopen the markets. So on Sunday night, Monday, the markets hit the first circuit breaker, and China got clocked. And our markets, of course, followed because China's economy, you never know what you're getting, right? They're a communist economy. We know there's a lot of manipulation. We know that the government owns part of every company. And in fact, the Chinese government owns 52% of the Chinese equity market. So they went down, we went down, and we continue to go down. Now, we tried to rally at night, but every night China had these problems. And of course, I wrote last Monday that you can bet your sweet potatoes that China is going to devalue the yuan, which is their currency, because they're in trouble. And sure enough, on Wednesday, they devalued. Wednesday night, they had the shortest session in stock market history. They were open for 29 minutes and closed because they had two circuit breakers. So China continued to go lower, and that is causing a lot of pressure because they're a big commodity user, and we're having a big deflation in commodities.
What have your reports shown about all these ghost cities they're building in China? And, you know, there are some reports that General Motors also got $25 billion bailout by the federal government, and they've been making some cars that never really get sold and that sort of thing. When companies do that or countries build a whole bunch of stuff and then it never gets used, these empty ghost cities, how does that affect the stock markets? And, you know, what's your take on all that?
You mean government motors? First of all, the hidden cities part, which is important because I actually wrote about this about 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and it just came out to the press, you know, recently. They have these ghost cities. What is the real problem with the ghost cities is they're over 15 years old now, and they're still on Chinese books at full value. Okay. You got something, Yoda?
So these cities are just sitting in China, massive cities that are just rotting.
They're just empty, and they have not been devalued. They have not come off their books. They're on their books at full value. The best comparison I can give you is Japan bought Pebble Beach, you know, 25 years ago, and they paid a ridiculous price for it. And they never took it off their books. They always kept it at full value. So the real problem is that the money that appears to be there, it's that ghost accounting that goes along with the ghost cities. And that's a problem that's coming to roost as well now because they don't have the money to cover it. So you have an inventory that's worth nothing that you're showing in your books worth $1 trillion, which is a problem.
I existed in the People's Republic of China quite a while. Oh, probably adding it all up to 6 months was the damnedest experience of my life. As you said, Bubba, communism is everything. Everything's subordinate to that. One of our insiders, and indeed we have, told us they recently rolled up 100,000 people. They arrested because they were doing something or not doing something in their fraudulent stock market.
I didn't hear that story, but again, I would never be surprised. There's, you know, there's always fraud. There's always the Bernie Madoffs of the world creating a scheme. And of course, one thing you and I, or we all know here, is that when people are desperate, they will do just about anything. And it's easy to trap desperate people, which is obviously one of the problems with what we've done with the economy, is actually fueling the ISIS brigade. Because if you go back in history and you look at what Hitler did, he was able to survive and build his regime in very tough times. Because when people don't have enough money to eat and they don't have enough money to live, they look for a way. And that's where those problems come in. But I didn't mean to get off topic, but anyways.
Well, you're totally on topic.
The first week here in January 2016, as we roll into it, is the Dow showing at about 16,500. What are your predictions in the next 6 months to a year of where it's going?
Well, we closed the week at 16,300. And the worst week in the history of Wall Street, the worst opening week in the history of Wall Street. I do believe that we are going down fairly dramatically. I'm going to say now, I can never make a long-term prediction. I look one level at a time. But a key level that I was looking for the last 6 or 7 months is 1,586 in the S&P, which would equate to approximately 15,000 in the Dow. But I think it's going lower. I think before we're all done here, I think this is going to be really nasty, because as I said earlier, the whole system, the house of cards that has been built, you know, they had a jobs number on Friday that everybody's glowing about, which was a horrible jobs number, because the type of jobs that we're bringing in are low-paying jobs, and the what they call the labor participation rate is the lowest since 1977. So not enough people are working. So that's it, creating a big problem as well.
What's the relationship of labor participation and the jobs numbers, if there is one?
Well, yeah, there is one, because the unemployment rate is one thing, which is 5%. Okay, which is BS anyways, because that's not true, but that's the way the government wants to report it, so we'll let them do their thing. But the participation rate, what's happening is there's a lot of people that have just given up. So they're not working. So they're not on the unemployment roll because they're not applying for unemployment. They're just sitting at home, exhausting their savings, or living on the street or whatever. But they've decided they can no longer look for a job, and they're not interested. So that's the lack of participation in the labor force is telling us that that's continuing to fall, which is a big problem, which means we're not creating enough jobs for people to go to work, and certainly not enough good jobs for them to go to work.
We looked at the USEX, Department of Labor, USEX, and it reports a huge number, as you said, Bubba. They're sitting on the couch. They're not collecting. They're living with Aunt Martha on the farm in Minnesota. Or they're incredibly underemployed, as you said earlier. You know, they're executives flipping hamburgers at McDonald's, you know. So the last number I read added to unemployment was like 17%, adding the USEX, the underemployed or the non-employed. Do you apply that? Do you think that's rational and reasonable?
Yeah, I do. I agree with that. I mean, that is a major problem, guys, is that, you know, we have so many underemployed people, and that there's a couple of big problems that we have here, and I'll go through them quickly, but you've got too many people reporting that things are good. Now, I don't care what anybody says, things are not good. The economy, the world is in trouble. Because you don't have enough people working. You know, everybody wanted to say, oh, gas prices are coming down. That's worth $1 billion a day. The U.S. consumer is going to take that money and spend it. They didn't spend it. Do you realize retail sales are the lowest they've been since 2010? But nobody cares that retail sales are down. And now all the genius economists and the pundits who kept saying, these lower oil prices are going to be great for the economy. And Bubba kept saying, no, 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 this is not good for the economy. This is showing you that your overall theory is flawed and you're wrong. And of course, how is it playing out? It's playing out pretty ugly. But we'll see from here. We're going to stop by here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Remember to check out thebubbashow.org or bubbatrading.com. Check out our hedging program. I'm telling you, you'll be sorry. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Make sure you get all the episodes at libertytalk.fm on demand. We're going to stop by here for a break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be back with Backpacking Yoder right after the break. Right here on The Bubba Rings Show. In my nose to be cool.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. bubba@thebubbashow.org. Check it out. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz visiting with our friends, Backpacking Yoda out of California. And, of course, we talked about retail sales right now and the ridiculous thought of gas and retail sales. Here we go back to the interview.
So nobody's spending because nobody's making enough money to spend. And, you know, if you've got kids and a family, you guys know how expensive it is to live. You can't live. People are spending and exhausting all their savings. I think 40% of Americans, if you ask them to come up with $200, couldn't come up with $200 in cash right now.
Yeah. That's incredible. I keep reading that 70% of Americans can't come up with $500 for a car repair or $1,000 for an emergency room visit. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, that's the problem. You know, the problems we have in this country. Now, I'm not a fan of Obama. I'm not a fan of his policies. Okay, but I can't blame him for everything. I can blame him for a good part of it. But the problem is the overall system itself is broken down. And too many of these guys are worried about their own personal pockets and not worried about taking care of everybody. So what they continue to do is build debt. And you cannot, if you or I or Backpack lived the way that the government spends money, we would either be in bankruptcy court or in jail.
Yeah. Okay. Clear.
Well, I mean, it's a terrible thing because, and this is an important point, that the problem is, do you know what the number one job source has been over the last 5 or 6 years?
What?
Government.
The service sector?
The government.
Oh, government, yeah.
Which is not good. We don't need bigger government. We need smaller government so that we can get on with our lives and quit with the garbage, okay, of these guys. I mean, do you realize how much money they're going to waste on this stupid election coming up? You realize the billions of dollars they've thrown in the toilet already? But I'm sorry, that's another topic for another day.
Are we Greece yet?
Yeah. One of the things that we saw when Obama campaigned in 2007, for all this hope and change that we still haven't seen yet, well, we've seen negative change, but he promised increasing manufacturing jobs by millions, but we've actually had, from 2007 to 2016, we've had a loss of 1.4 million manufacturing jobs in the United States.
No, of course, you're right. And you know, again, I can't blame that all on him, you know, but I can blame this. And you guys can both recognize this with your backgrounds. What they did is they really butchered the whole turmoil here. They had an opportunity to make this country whole and do it quickly.
All they had to do is, after they initially bailed out the banks, which I don't think they should have done, I think they should have let the banks that were weak fail, because if your business is failing, they don't come and bail you out. So they should have let the banks that fail, let the economy go into a mess. But then they spent $4 trillion on this bailout so far.
Wow.
They could have rebuilt the entire United States of America, every bridge, every levee, every part of construction could have been done. And you know what? It would take 20 years to do that, and you would have employed all those people that are not working, and it's called the war effect. Okay? They could have done that easily, but our politicians are too stupid to figure that out. Of course, they're the same ones that refused to fix the levees. I think it was $5 million in New Orleans. So, again, that's a problem for another day, but that's a big problem.
We've got a scenario for you from one of our insiders, not the VIPs that we run around in our roster, but a guy who's currently with an intel agency. He's got a scenario for you. Presume now, in the next 6 months, a bunch of active shooters in soft targets, theaters, hospitals, school, malls, like that, accompanied by a couple large explosions to such degree that the liberal press, 70% or so, can no longer cover that up despite our enormous size and population. So, as with this morning in Philadelphia, you're going to see ISIS active shooters, couple explosions, pretty much weekly. Over to you, kind Bubba, our singular financial guy. What happens then to the economy, and how is Six-Pack Joe, our listener, and his wife affected?
Well, I think it will have, you know, when it starts to expand, which I think you are correct. I think we've seen, I think we saw it in Philadelphia when the guy shot the copper. I thought that was, I think you're starting to see that. I think that has a dramatic effect because that brings more fear to the market. But once it becomes a regular effect, it will not have as much impact on the market. Markets are very resilient after they understand the facts. For example, we go back to 9/11, the market did collapse a little bit. But the truth of the matter is, at the point in time that 9/11 happened, the market itself was searching for a reason to go down. So it went down, but it immediately recovered afterwards. And you can listen to whatever experts you want. The bottom line is that's what happens to the market. So initially, if you start seeing these, which I do agree that you're going to start to see them, but as far as an overall effect on the market, it will not, after the initial shock wears off, it will not have much of an effect. And I think you could have witnessed that, guys, when you saw Paris, the markets did not sell off one iota. As a matter of fact, they rallied from when they had the terrorist attack in Paris, which was a pretty major thing, 100, I think it was 155 people that were killed. But from your other point, I think that's going to be a real problem, and I think that you're going to start to see more and more of it, and it's a very scary thing. And if our commander-in-chief would listen to his generals and go wipe them guys out already, we wouldn't have to have that problem.
Exactly. How do you rationalize for us laymen that the market isn't affected? Use your example like Paris.
Well,
how can the market not be affected for us ignorant people?
First of all, nobody's ignorant. I mean, listen, you know, I've been doing it for 36 years. I understand markets. Markets work on money. Markets work on fear and greed. Okay. Once it's out in the open, once it's identified, it's no longer something for the markets to be afraid of. They understand it. They'll see it. They know that it's happening. So they'll deal with it. The initial shock might send some shockwaves into the market. But see, when it comes to money, people forget about a lot of problems after a while. They're figuring out a way to make money. And people have to invest, and they're going to invest into the stock market because that's the, you know, that is the overall best place if you know what you're doing. That is by far the best place if you understand it and you know what to do. So once the initial shock wears off and it becomes regular, then nobody cares. If you go back and just a little history lesson, was it 1991 or two when we had the Scuds going with Schwarzkopf?
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever year that was, one Sunday night they were bombing like crazy. What do you think the market did the next day? The market went up about 1,000. Okay. So again, the markets are a completely separate animal once they recognize it, and there's no longer the fear of the uncertainty. That's stock markets are more based on uncertainty. But basically, we all know and agree with you. The only person who doesn't agree is the president, that there's going to be a lot more trouble from the terrorists right in our own country, right in our backyard. So everybody's pretty much aware of that. So I don't see that becoming an issue for the stock market. I would tend, like I said, if there was one or two quick ones, that might send a ripple effect. But like, for example, if it was Monday, this coming up Monday, I would say it would have no effect. The market's already so far got clobbered and probably going to continue to get clobbered, that part of it won't have an effect on it.
Fascinating lesson, Bubba. I've got a social cultural comparison for you that goes along with you. We've been in these hot spots, which are really dangerous, shooting, bombings going off, and the public acclimates at the risk of appearing crude. They will literally step over bodies to get into their office, you know. So as you're saying with finance, the public certainly acclimates to hotspots. I've seen that time and time again around the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fascinating.
We do have a breaking story from Pamela Geller, who will be on Voices of Global Freedom in January. We're honored and privileged to have her on the show. We're talking with Todd Bubba Horowitz. He is the host of thebubbashow.org. On her website, she's talking about the devout Muslim fired 13 shots in Philadelphia today. And according to the Muslim assassin, police bend the laws that are contrary to the teachings of the Quran. So it's basically saying that Islam is against the rule of law, the Judeo-Christian society here, you know, in the 21st century, and that Islam is based on 7th century barbaric savagery. So one of the things that Pamela Geller's mission as the head of AFDI, American Freedom Defense Initiative, is to run ads in many cities bringing awareness of the jihad threat. Unfortunately, a lot of the Democrat liberal types of cities are not allowing those ads to run, so that it brings awareness to the public. But we're astounding that the mayor of Philadelphia just announced today that he says this is not the real Islam, but we all know different, right?
Well, have you seen this last German thing, Bubba?
No, I haven't. As we talk a little Islam and a little bit of what's going on, and of course, he had asked me, I heard about the German thing. I wasn't sure what he was talking about, but you'll hear my answers and things when we come back from the break. But this is the kind of stuff that creates more problems in the economy, because this is how these guys draw members, or whatever you want to call them, terrorists, to this terrorist group. Because of the overall bad economy, it makes it easier to recruit people in. But we're going to stop by here for a break. Make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com. It is also the same as TheBubbaShow.org to see the latest articles we're putting up there and to see some of the things that we're offering. Make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm to get the on-demand show. Always there for you. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop our air for a break, and we'll be right back with more with Backpack and Yoda. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
I've been feeling real good. Came a long way from here.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft and little?
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you on this wonderful, glorious day. And here we are. We're talking about what was happening with the Germans and some other things in the Islam terrorists. And we will be back with Backpacking Yoda right now. Let's get back to it now.
January 1st, New Year's Eve, throughout the cities as follows: Hamburg, Dusseldorf, Dortmund, Cologne, Stuttgart. That's a lot of German cities. Arab Muslim mobs numbering 1,000 went to the main train stations and raped numerous women, overwhelming the local coppers, of course. So
I did hear about that. Yes, I did hear about that. That is correct. And again, say that's this is the problem with leadership around the world, is we cannot allow these animals to exist. Because, you know, listen, it's one thing to be what you are, but when you hate
Americans and you have no regard for your own life, let alone anybody else's, that is a problem, and those people need to be extinguished.
That's the element, as you said, with our experience in counterterrorism. The new thing, as says Comey, Director FBI, is their suicide tendencies. Meanwhile, the female mayor of Cologne, where numerous German females were raped by ragheads of a thousand, said that the German females should stay at arm's length from from the mobs. Backpack picked one up this morning out of the freaking mayor of Philadelphia backpack.
Yeah, we're astounded to hear that he's actually supporting and still saying that Islam is the religion of peace when we all know that it's not. And so he's doing everything he can to support. It sounds, I mean, I can't help but say it. He's supporting this guy who shot the copper and saying, oh, this is, but we've had already in the United States, we had San Bernardino is still very fresh in our memories, and so many other Garland, Texas attacks by Islam terrorists, on and on and on, and the Paris attacks. So how does any of this make any sense?
Question, Bubba, question if you will. How in the hell, why have the past five presidents, and they still do it, mayors at least in 109 cities, that are eager to take in Syrians and people pretending to be Syrians, how the hell are they still talking about peaceful, moderate, tolerant Muslims? Talk to me, Bubba.
You know, I can't answer it. I'm befuddled myself, but again, this goes back to the lack of leadership from the top. Now, we both know that the generals are telling our president, the commander-in-chief, that we need to take this, we need to take care of this matter. And of course, he does have the final say so, and he is refusing to identify them as what they are. And of course, becoming the most antagonistic president in the history and the most belligerent to most people, it's not surprising, but unfortunately, that is what we have to deal with. And that's why we are becoming more of a sitting target. And that's why more of these attacks will be able to be handled, because our commander-in-chief refuses to take care of business.
We have a personal relationship with the generals. I never use that loosely. A personal friendship, including Major General Vallely, Colonel Allen B. West, General Flynn, Admiral Lyons, four-star Admiral Lyons, Claire Lopez, 22-year CIA, Johnson, CIA and the state, and they're all saying exactly what you're saying. So what the, I know you can't be in his head. What the hell do you opine that he's playing at, the abomination?
I just, again, I think he believes that he is bigger than life. I think he thinks he's almost God, and that he has the final say-so, and I think that that becomes the bigger problem. And when you have somebody who is unreasonable, who, I mean, there's so many things going on that obviously anger all of us. I mean, he's screwing with the Second Amendment, okay? Trying to take guns off the street. Now, you and I both know, Backpack, Yoda, myself, know that the bad guys are always going to have the guns. So what is he bothering the good guys for? I mean, you think somebody who said, you think this jackass in Philadelphia who shot the cop would have trouble getting a gun from somebody, unlicensed, whatever? I mean, it was, believe it or not, it was a stolen gun from the police department that he shot him with. So are we really that dumb? We believe that the crooks can't get a gun? Now, as long as I can remember, the crooks, the bad guys, always had the technology and the bullets before the good guys. And the good guys end up holding the bag. So we have a chance now to go take care of it, but our guy refuses to get off his ass and go take care of it.
Look at the difference it would have made if somebody in San Bernardino in the audience or buddies had some pistols, you know, put some lead on the bad guys. Outcome would have certainly been different. We work with Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Maricopa County, Phoenix, toughest sheriff in America, Backpack was talking to him recently. Let us tell you what he's doing, Backpack.
Well, he's telling all of his Phoenix, Maricopa, 5 million people to get CCWs, to go out and get the concealed carry permits that are legal in the state, and to be out and about. And if there is a bad guy situation, that they take him out. So him, he's leading the charge, and many other sheriffs have joined Sheriff Joe Arpaio across the United States and telling citizens, when you're out at soft targets like shopping malls, theaters, and other venues, to be fully armed. But one of the compelling cases, we had Eric Pratt with Gun Owners of America. We brought up that just in our archives, we talked about the Aurora Theater shooting. The bad guy in that situation looked at seven other theaters before he chose the one in Aurora, Colorado, and the other seven ones were, you were allowed to have guns there. So he specifically went to a movie theater that was a gun-free zone, which we hate that word, but so one of the solutions is to make all the places, as many places as possible, have guns. And we do salute Texas. The state has gone so far as to have open carry laws. So now a lot of people walking around with guns in Texas that are law-abiding citizens.
What are he, Abomination, and his minions, what are they playing at, Bubba, with this gun confiscation thing?
Well, I don't know if it's his minions. I see, that's the problem. I don't know who's really in with him on this deal. I mean, other than the candidate, whatever you want to call her. But I don't know. I don't know many people who are really supporters of this. But the problem is he has got the power of the pen, and he does have, unfortunately, the absolute power. But, you know, again, I am all for the Second Amendment. They didn't make it the 21st Amendment. That was the second thing, and that was just for those reasons. You know, if you guys were carrying in Paris, guess what? We might not have had 155 people shot. And, you know, you have to, at some point, defend your country. We are becoming a country of runners instead of a country of taking care of business. And that is also very frightening.
Rephrasing what you said, the toughest gun laws in Western Europe are France. Yet, AK-47s are available everywhere for the bad guys. Too ironic. So the bad guys there aren't running around with handguns, pistols. They're running around with AKs on full auto. Yet, as with Chicago, as with Mexico, it is the toughest gun laws in Europe. So they simply don't work, of course. You said it best. The bad guys don't go to gun stores. They go to the back of an alley 2 a.m. downtown and sell guns out of a car trunk, of course.
Exactly. I mean, again, you know, who do we think we're kidding? And that's the problem. That's the whole problem with this whole process, Yoda, is we know the story. You and I can sit here and talk about it. The generals can talk about it. But until the commander gets off and says, let's take care of it, this is the problem that you're having. And that is a bigger problem, not economically, but certainly, more importantly, to people. And we're destroying a lot of people for no reason. And, of course, that is the problem that our commander-in-chief does not want to take charge and does not want to listen to his generals. But that will do it for this portion. We'll come back with the balance tomorrow. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure you get to thebubbashow.org or bubbatraining.com and check out the hedging program. Because of all this uncertainty, I want my people to be protected. I want y'all to have a great day. I always enjoy sharing information with all of you. This is The Bubba Show. If you miss a show, they're available at libertytalk.fm every day on demand. They're loaded up there for you in case you can't get there. That'll do it for today. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. And we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same station, right here on The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll see you later. Everybody. I got a feeling.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.